Okay, before we start, look, basketball is about to begin, and here at Locked On Heat, we are looking for advertising partners for the upcoming season. If you or your business wants to try something new and take advantage of advertising with a personal touch, Locked On Heat is looking for sponsors as passionate about the Heat as our thousands of listeners. Podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with companies than from any other form of media. Our rates are reasonable, and they're based on the number of listens, so you get the most bang for your buck. To find out more information, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com. Okay, with the business stuff out of the way, on with the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil. Today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to find tickets for the games, concerts, and shows that you want to go to. Download the SeatGeek app, add the promo code LONBA, get $20 off your first ticket purchase. We're going to have a mailbag today, David, right?
Absolutely. You know, you just mentioned that I'm always there, but last week I wasn't. I feel like I've been disconnected from not just basketball in general, but the world of the Heat in particular for a few days now.
I think you get a pass considering the dealing with the fallout of Irma.
Yes, I will go and say, look, that I was among the luckiest of them. You know, our house wasn't hit at all, really. I mean, there were a lot of strong winds, a lot of downed limbs and things of that sort. But we lost power and internet for a few days, which is why I wasn't able to record. But I'll go on a little bit of a soapbox here and urge all of our listeners all over the world to please consider donating, if possible, to some of the people, particularly along the Keys, who have lost everything. I mean, if they've seen any of the footage or anything like that, I know I have friends and family down there that have suffered a lot more than I have. So if you can, please consider donating to any of the victims of Hurricane Irma.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of really great places that you can donate. Yeah, please do. So we got a mailbag today that we're going to record. We're going to talk about Rodney Magruder. Maybe being dragged to unveil the Miami Heat's new jersey, new statement jersey. We're going to talk about the Miami Heat's new player that they added to their training camp roster, which is now up to 19 players. But first, we have to start with the Dragon himself, Goran Dragic, winning MVP of EuroBasket 2017, leading Slovenia to the gold medal. You and I watched this, and we had a great time watching Dragic just ball out for Slovenia. He was playing next to top prospect Luka Doncic, talking about maybe or playing with maybe NBA returnee Anthony Randolph, possibly. But Dragic just he was the MVP and he played like it. I mean, 22.6 points per game, 5.1 assists per game, and 4.4 rebounds a game during the EuroBasket tournament. I talked about this a little bit on last week's mailbag, David. About we had this question: are you concerned that Dragic is wearing himself out? And I said no at the time. And watching him play the way he did in that gold medal game, where he scored 26 points, I think, in the first half. I mean, he was unbelievable. Yes. And I understand it's different competition, but he did exactly what you wanted out of an NBA star in one of these tournaments. And that was that he dominated. How impressed were you by him?
Extremely so. Yeah, you know, there is the caveat, of course, of the slightly less competition. But, you know, you also consider the fact that much like what we see during Olympic play or during FIBA World Cup play, you know, a lot of these teams have been playing together cohesively for a long time. You've got teammates there that have come up through the European Pro Leagues and have played together for their national teams, et cetera, for a long time. So there's certainly a higher level of cohesion, if not necessarily the same kind of level of athleticism or explosiveness that you'll find in an NBA game. But that's still what made these teams fun. Like, the rulings are different, the way fouls are called, a lot of the different things are changed. Of course, there's always the goaltending rule. So that impacts the overall game. But Goran's performance was extraordinary. He was clearly the best player in the tournament, just completely dominant, pulling up from outside, driving to the rim at will, just doing the kinds of things that we've seen over the last year and a half, particularly last season when he had the ball in his hands. And I think this is the version of Goran that we'll continue to see throughout next season.
Are you worried at all that he may have worn himself out by playing in such a competitive tournament during the season?
You know, it's funny. We assume that there's a higher level of competition there because these games are televised and they're playing for national pride and things of that sort. But I think every NBA player is working out to some degree, and maybe even harder. You've got guys, you know, we're constantly seeing footage on Instagram and Twitter and everything else of Hoodie Mello and James Harden and Westbrook playing together in places like Chicago and New York and running pickup games. These guys are training year round, and that's just the reality of today. You know, players don't have to have part-time jobs as insurance agents during the offseason. I think they're making more than enough with these guaranteed contracts.
That used to be the case. Yeah.
They're not smoking Pall Malls in the locker room. They're not having a cold Busch Light after or during the game. I mean, it's a different world now.
Did you listen to that podcast, Zach the Low Post with Jackie McMullen?
No, I did not. What were they talking about, the Boston Garden?
You've got to listen to this. Yeah, they were talking about how Larry Bird at the end of games, they used to have like beer for the players in the locker room at the end of games, and they would obviously have enough beer that nobody would not have beer, right? So they always had extra beer, and what Larry Bird would do is he would take like a pillowcase to these games, and at the end on the road games, he would just put all the beers in this pillowcase and bring it to his hotel room and have a party with all the players. Like, could you, like, that's just insane to think about that, something like that happening now. But it's so funny. You gotta listen to that. It's so many great stories on that one.
That is great.
It's so funny. But, it's a great point that you made is like, you look at Dragic playing on television and you think, and some fans worry about that, right? But you're right. Like, these guys are just playing back. You have the Drew League happening during the summer. You've seen Carmelo Anthony playing with Chris Paul and James Harden. They just play basketball year round. You're absolutely right. And if you're not, you're working out every single day like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade are. They're always working. And so I would have maybe been concerned if Dragic didn't just win MVP. But he looks like he's playing the best basketball of his career between the way he finished last year, the way he's playing in Eurobasket, leading the team to gold, right? He wasn't just a member on the... He led that team to gold. And he looks tremendous. Like he's as fast and quick as ever. He's as crafty as ever. He looks great. Yes. I'm if anything, I have more confidence in his game having seen him play in Eurobasket.
Yeah, you know, when we talked about recently with Jason Lloyd, you know, when we were doing our fantasy analysis for the season, we talked about it. You know, his game isn't necessarily one built on athleticism. He's just much more savvy. It has just enough speed, I think, to get past preliminary defenders. And, of course, there's always his iron shoulder. And, I mean, he's just a very savvy, smart player. He knows how to use space particularly well. So, you know, I will add, of course, though, for those people who were not fortunate enough to watch the games, he did wind up getting cramps late in the last gold medal game there. You know, he sat out the final, I want to say, 5 to 10 minutes of play. You know, he probably could have gone in, but I think the team had a large enough lead there where it wasn't necessary for him to go back in the game. So that was a little concern.
There is a different standard for sideline medical treatment. There was a point during a timeout that I think one of the players on Dragic's team on Sylvania, his back must have been bothering him. And so
did you see the head rub?
Yeah. You see, like, that was another one. Like, you just have play, like, and then the guy's back was bothering him. So the other player did that thing that your buddies will do to you where they kind of like pick him up and then just kind of get him across the torso. And that was the treatment where in the NBA, you have LeBron James, like looking like a mummy because he's got so many bandages and wrappings on. He's got like, you know, he's like laying on the ground and he's going through a foam roller or whatever it might be. Like, that's not the standard in Europe. So I think the cramps might be a little worrisome, maybe a little bit, but also at the same time, they don't have the same standard. Like, they probably don't have as good Gatorade or something. Like, I'm not sure what the situation is over there, but
that reminds me though, when we're talking about the standard of things, the ultimate standard for ordering tickets is SeatGeek.
Wow. That's right. Because buying in tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated. That used to be the old standard. SeatGeek came in with a new standard. They make it easy. They make it, easier and better to shop for tickets online. No more opening a billion browsers at a time, just hoping that you're getting the best deal or they're not getting bamboozled by some sort of ticket site. SeatGeek's prices are guaranteed. They compare all the ticket sites for you to make sure that you get the most bang for your buck. You know that I've used the SeatGeek app like several times this summer, right?
Absolutely.
And
yeah, yeah.
for every
I'm using it over the next couple of weeks, actually. There's a concert in Jacksonville I can't wait to go to. So George.
Who's that?
You don't know who So George is? He's the Brazilian superstar. Of course, everything is with a grain of salt when in some country in South America. But he's probably best known for providing the soundtrack for The Life Aquatic, Wes Anderson film. Yeah, he does David Bowie covers, basically. That's how I know him.
Oh, great.
Yes, awesome.
Is he going to be doing David Bowie concert covers?
Yes, yeah. It's basically a whole show of acoustic David Bowie covers in Portuguese. It's awesome.
That sounds amazing. And so... Even if you wanted to go see that, SeatGeek has the tickets for you. They're designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. To get the most bang for your buck, they grade every ticket based on its value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you could shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do is download the SeatGeek app on your phone, enter the promo code LONBA, that's promo code LONBA, and you can get $20 off of your first SeatGeek purchase. I thought I was done with concerts for the year, David, and then I just saw an advertisement outside of Oracle Arena when I was driving to work the other day, and Jay-Z is going to be in town. So,
oh wow!
Yeah, that's good. I saw Jay-Z on the Suit and Tie tour. So that was the one he did with Justin Timberlake 2 or 3 years ago. And
has it been that long? Seems like a lot longer.
Maybe it was longer. I don't know, but maybe it might have been longer. It might have been 4 years ago. And he was amazing, but he also had to share the stage with Justin Timberlake, who was also amazing. He's a great entertainer. But I was like, I could see more Jay-Z without Justin Timberlake being there. So I think I'm ready. I'm going to use SeatGeek to get that. It might be my last concert for the year.
You've gone to a few. And then the best part is, you know, with SeatGeek, it's so easy to go to get the tickets you want.
Exactly. All right. So the Heat, they signed a new training camp body today. We're just going to touch on this a little bit. Eric McCree, 6'8", 220-pound forward out of Louisiana Tech, who averaged 14.9 points per game and 7.3 rebounds in his last season there, or for his career there at Louisiana Tech, and might have some 3-point shooting ability. Shot 36% on 4.5 threes per game and 77% from the free throw line. This is in his last year. Shouts to
for his career.
USA.
Yeah, for his career, he was 34.8% from 3-point range. So
yeah, so. Look, we don't have to spend a lot of time on this because you and I mean, unless you've watched a lot of Eric McCree, I don't know how much you have to talk about him.
I haven't. You know, there's a strong tradition of power forwards at Louisiana Tech, though. That Karl Malone guy was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Millsap, he was pretty good. And if I'm not mistaken, P.J. Brown, Heat legend P.J. Brown, attended Louisiana Tech as well. So I think there's a connection there. So I wonder if that maybe he'll have a chance. Probably not.
It feels like
a late signing.
It feels like somebody that's going to be at training camp and then maybe get a spot on Sioux Falls and then possibly be, you know, one of these guys that Miami just brings in and maybe grooms for a couple of years, maybe ends up like Larry Drew where he gets a shot, you know, and then kind of it's up to him to make the most out of it. I wonder if that's kind of the situation here. And that's what I always wonder with all these training camp bodies. But that's basically what this guy, Eric McCree, is going to be as a training camp body. But an interesting one.
Yeah, he's got the size and the shooting range. He can certainly make things interesting.
We got to talk about Ronnie Magruder.
Oh, we certainly do.
So Nike unveiled the new, quote unquote,
statement jerseys,
which whatever.
The statement was
everything's the same for the Heat, at least, right? And
yes.
And so, but every team sent a representative. You know, the Warriors sent Kevin Durant, who, by many accounts, is their most famous player, depending on which, you know, if you like him or Curry the most. Paul George went for the Thunder. Blake Griffin went for the Clippers. And for the Heat. John Wall went for the Wizards. And for the Heat, Rodney Magruder went, and he didn't look happy about it in any of the pictures. He looked miserable in every photo that was taken, even the candid photos. He was just like, I don't want to be here. So my question to you, how did he get suckered into doing this?
You know, we've talked about his playing time dwindling. Maybe this is a guarantee that he'll get some minutes or he won't get sent down to the G League or something. I mean,
if you do this, we will play him.
Yeah. You know, like I just saw the Thunder are arranging, I can't publicize these things. The Thunder are arranging a number of charitable events that they're participating in, like the Oklahoma State Fair, right. Or so players are going to be going by there. And then there's one particular event that they're having at like an old folks home, and it's Samaj Kristen who's stuck going to the old folks home. The only player there. So I think like it's these guys who are kind of like in the bottom of the roster get stuck with the worst possible jobs. I don't know. Like he's obviously not in the upper echelon of players, so he can't really schmooze with guys like PG or Blake Griffin, right. Et cetera.
Right.
So he's kind of just there as like, hi, I'm the journeyman player who somehow started 62 games last year.
So there's 29 other players there, right? How many of them over under knew who Rodney Magruder was?
Ooh, that's...
I mean, no disrespect to Rodney Magruder. People don't come after me for dissing Rodney Magruder. This is an honest, but this is a good question.
15? 15?
Like 50% almost, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, I mean, Paul George rose to them. I'm pretty sure maybe he knows him in that context.
Yeah, he probably doesn't recognize him. He was a foot taller than him. He's looking over him the whole time.
Just like he was in the game. Mm-hmm. Who should have represented him? Whiteside? Whiteside would have been the right choice.
Whiteside, last I had checked, was shopping at Walmart, so he was preoccupied.
He's got his hands full, then.
Yeah. Dion Waiters was... doing some sort of ice bath treatment thingy. I don't know, cold treatment, something like
that. He's busy.
He was busy taking care of that. Who else could have went?
Udonis was in the midst of charitable events Hurricane Irma.
Kelly Olynyk was doing the Shooting Touch Foundation event that weekend, so he couldn't go.
Tyler was in Miami as well.
Yeah, I wonder how many of these guys were taking care of Irma relief or something like that, where maybe having a face like that was more important than, no offense again to Rodney Magruder, but like a guy that maybe, even though he started 60-plus games last year, a lot of casual Heat fans or non-Heat fans would recognize.
You know who they should have sent? Either Bam, I think, would have been a good choice, or Alonzo Mourning. He's probably still in better shape than a lot of those guys out there. It would have been such a great marketing move to send him out there. He's still in great shape.
Genius. That's a genius idea. Absolutely. Send Alonzo Mourning. If they were doing the throwback, if they were like unveiling a throwback jersey, that would have been a really good move. And I think you don't send Bam because Pat Riley doesn't like rookies, right? He's like, I don't want a rookie representing us at this thing, even though it's a stupid thing I don't care about. All right.
Yeah, did he even know what was going on? There was that picture I saw. I don't know if you caught it. Did you see a picture of him like somewhere in California buying like a shopping cart full of like chocolate milk or something like that?
Wasn't that in Florida? Wasn't he at a Publix buying Irma relief stuff?
Okay, if that's the case, then he gets a pass, obviously.
Apparently been spending a lot of money on the relief, so shouts to Pat Riley for doing the right
thing. Okay. Not as much as Mickey Arison. Big news there, $10 million donation, so that's our owner right there.
Yeah, that's why the Heat are recognized as one of the best organizations in basketball. They step up when they have to.
All right, let's move on to the mailbag, because I don't know about you, but I'm dying to talk about basketball after a long week and a half of dealing with nothing else, really.
All right, let's do it. First question comes from Billy Kuhn. Starts with, Luka Doncic.
That's it. That's the question.
That's it. So talk about, can Miami trade with Cleveland to bring the Slovenian stud to South Beach? Cleveland is, love the alliteration there. Cleveland is in a win now mode while looking towards the future. I think we could help the Cavs win now while at the same time staying competitors ourselves and hopefully bring in Luka, who will fit in Miami's positionless system. First of all, 100% agree. Luka, while watching Goran Dragic ball out for Slovenia, I was also watching Luka Doncic, and he looks polished. He is crafty, Dragic is. He is tall. He doesn't really play with his size, but you figure, okay, that's maybe like a European thing. Maybe he'll learn to do that a little bit more in the NBA when he has to. The way this Slovenia plays is a lot of just like five out, catch and shoot kind of thing. So anyway, I love Luka Doncic. He might be the number one pick in the draft. He's certainly going to be a top four or five pick in the draft. So the trade here, Billy Kuhn did propose a trade, but it was a very long thing, and I wanted to get into this. But the idea is that you get the Brooklyn pick from Cleveland, the one that they just received from the Boston Celtics. So I came up with a trade.
Oh, okay.
It's basically
You and your theoreticals. You love them here.
Yes. The Heat get the pick, the first pick in the draft, or not the first pick, the Brooklyn Nets first round pick, which is not protected and could be a top five pick and probably will be. And in exchange, they send Hassan Whiteside to Cleveland. And you, whatever the salary filler is, which might be like Channing Frye and Amon Shumpert. But it's basically Hassan Whiteside for the Brooklyn pick and salary filler.
Well, a year removed from trading away Kyrie Irving with Isaiah Thomas's health in great question, I don't see any world where Cleveland is willing to part with that pick.
I agree with you.
I think it sounds great to entertain these kinds of things. It's all in good fun, obviously. I just think Cleveland would rather die than trade that pick right now. You know, they need to have. Jay Crowder is a hell of a fine player, and we assume that Thomas is going to be able to contribute at some level, if not at the same level he played last year. But that first round pick, that first pick in the draft, I mean, possibly, potentially, the first pick in the draft is the key to that trade, and I don't think they're going to likely part with it for anything other than a superstar player, and Whiteside is not a superstar player. They think they have more than enough in Tristan Thompson that they don't need a guy like Hassan Whiteside, and I honestly agree with the way the league has changed. I don't think that they necessarily need a guy like Hassan Whiteside to make that a better team or even to capitalize on their win now mentality, because you know what, LeBron's going to be gone after this season, and even if he isn't gone, they're still looking towards the future, a future that probably does not include LeBron at some point. So you get a first round pick, an early first top five pick likely, and all of a sudden you have a player who can be the face of the franchise to take over once LeBron leaves, whether it's this season, the next, or 5 years from now, who knows, once he retires.
So I think it's a priority
to get a young player like that.
I agree with you. I don't think Cleveland's moving that pick.
But you know what? We're looking at Cleveland as a pick.
What?
You know, I think you know, they're not even going to be – Brooklyn isn't going to even be the worst team in the league. We're looking at Atlanta. I think Chicago is likely to have a much worse record, yeah.
Depending on what happens with the Knicks, we still don't know what's the situation with Carmelo. Look, I agree with you. I think the only way that Cleveland moves that pick is if Isaiah Thomas looks healthy, they're good, they're competitive, and they're able to move it for a star like DeMarcus Cousins or something like that. Somebody that, if LeBron leaves, they could still build around DeMarcus Cousins, right? Or something like that, where that's the only way. I don't think Whiteside's at that level, like you were saying. I don't think anybody on the Heat's roster is at that level. So I don't see a way of getting that. If Miami is going to get a top five pick and get one of these guys, I've always said, if the Heat are going to tank, this is the year to do it. They still have their pick. It's protected, I think, top eight, I want to say. I might be wrong on that. I'm forgetting right now. So if it falls within that certain range, it doesn't go to Phoenix. This draft class is loaded. If there's a year to tank, this is it. The Heat won't do it, but that's the way to get one of these guys. Unfortunately, we're going to have to admire and appreciate Luka Doncic somewhere else. Hopefully not Cleveland. Hopefully somewhere else, but that's going to probably be the case here. All right, quick reminder to make sure that you subscribe to David Locke's Locked On NBA podcast for all of your national NBA news throughout the rest of the offseason and during the regular season. He's got interviews with coaches, scouts, league insiders. Also, check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA team and your favorite NFL team. Look, the Dolphins are 1-0, baby, and we've got Locked On Dolphins on the network as well. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, so this is our next question coming from Chris Leach. You guys have been saying for a while that you think that Waiters will turn up his scoring to the tune of 20 points, and Goran Dragic, while scoring less, will increase his assist output and be the floor general. Is there any chance that this goes the other way, where Dragic continues to score 20-plus or so while Waiters racks up the assists? What do you think?
I think the game just, as we saw in EuroLeague, I think the game just flows better for Dragic. Look, he can score, but I think it's better for him to have the ball in his hands. And I think the way that the Heat is set up, especially with a drive and kick game that we saw flourish, particularly in the second half of last season, it's better for him to be the kind of guy who initiates the offense and then just capitalizes whenever those opportunities are available. And I think Waiters is going to have to take somewhat of a back seat in that sense. He's not going to be the playmaker that Goran is. I think he's going to be counted on to be a more effective and efficient scorer. And I think Dragic is already naturally an effective and efficient scorer. So for him, it'll be more important to create those good plays for others. And I think we saw him capable of doing that last year. He did it during the summer again in EuroLeague, and I think he's going to continue to do it next year. I think he's better as a ball handler and initiator than as a scorer, although he's certainly a very good and effective scorer.
He is by far the most polished offensive player and polished scorer that the Heat have. And so when I read this question, I started thinking about it. If he competes at the level that he was last year, where he really started to shoot a lot more threes per game and making them, and he shot threes really well during Eurobasket and played amazingly, I think that Dragic's best tool, he's a fine distributor. He's not great. He's fine. He's a better scorer than he is a passer. And
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if he averaged 20-plus points a game and if Waiters did turn up his assists a little bit more, because you look at Waiters, and where he struggles is finishing at the rim. And that's not a new thing, right? That's been the case for his career. Yeah. And I wonder if then maybe Eric Spoelstra says, or nudges him in that direction, saying, like, you could get to the rim, but I'm going to need you to kick it out for three-pointers because threes are worth more than twos. And where Dragic might be a little bit more crafty in the lane and be able to get his shot off, where Waiters is really just kind of, once he gets to the rim, it's a little iffy, is a nice way to put it sometimes.
See, my concern is, and I've mentioned it before, and I think it's going to be something that we're going to have to watch as the season develops, is that Goran in particular was so good at drawing fouls on the three-point shot when he was curling around screens and emphasizing whatever minimal contact it might have been so he would get to the line and shoot three free throws. And I think that's going to be a point of emphasis for refereeing this year, where they're going to look to eliminate those kind of easier calls, because they changed the course of the game so much, because we saw more of those being called throughout the whole season, and he was certainly one of the most guys that benefited the most as a result. I think they're going to take out that part of his game.
It wasn't a James Harden thing, right? Like, that's Harden's game. That was James Harden's game. Dragic did it because he was taking advantage of the rules, right? Remember that? There was a story towards the end of the season, like, why did you start doing that?
He took a lot of advantage, yeah.
Why did you start doing that? He's like, well, because everybody else was getting away with it. That's not something I used to do. I didn't want to do that. But everybody else is doing it and I was getting called for the fouls. So I started doing it. I think if they stopped calling it, he would just stop doing it. It's not a part of his game that he relies on, right? Like, that's
sure.
A part of his
game.
I
guess he...
DeMar DeRozan does to get three-pointers because he can't shoot from that range.
Right. Maybe. I mean, I guess he's a very good catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. That's just going to have to be something that he continues to work on. And then we saw him thrive in that capacity last year and also in EuroLeague. So, I mean, that's certainly available to him. I just wonder whether or not it's going to impact his game negatively to the point where he's not necessarily as comfortable in the perimeter as he was last year.
So, I know we've talked a lot here about Waiters maybe being the highest scoring player on the Heat next year. And maybe I'm hoping I'm not
changing tunes.
I might be a prisoner of the moment here. Dragic looks so good. I could see it where he leads Miami in points and assists. And that's my answer to this question.
Does he keep the beard? Does he keep the beard
I
once
hope
he comes
so.
Back to Miami?
He needs to. If he shaves the beard, I take that all back. If he shaves the beard, he's traded by the trade deadline. He needs to keep the beard. I'm on board with the beard. What about you?
And there is such an animal as a bearded dragon, so it just makes perfect sense.
Oh,
right?
My, that's genius. That he goes from the dragon to the bearded dragon. It's a whole new branding tool. This is great. It's a win-win for everybody. Miami Heat's social media account will be great. It'll be perfect. This question comes from Big Pat. What Miami Heat player or players do you think is most likely to become upset by either not playing at all or playing limited minutes? And do you think that they may request a trade or may request to be traded? Now, maybe this is coming off the heels of players requesting to be traded, i.e. Kyrie Irving. Do you think that the Heat have a player that looks at this situation and is like, I could be better utilized elsewhere. Trade me.
You know, that's such an interesting question, because when you look at Miami's history, has so rarely been a problem, right? I'm trying to recall. Look, it's not to say that there hasn't been some kind of in-house squabbling at some point during their 20-something year history. I mean, that's just bound to happen. But it's always been so minimal or kind of covered up so effectively so that you don't really hear about these things. You never really hear about player X you know, yeah. whining to the media or using the media to get his point across or something like that. I don't want to use whining because I think that's a typical response there. I think it's fair for players to complain about playing time. I just don't think it's really happened all that much in Miami's history. But I'm trying to think in this particular roster, it's also one that's not very set up for that kind of thing because you have a number of players, Waiters, Johnston, Olynyk, et cetera, that just got paid. You've got Dragic in the middle of his contract. You've got Whiteside in the middle of his. All these players, look, Josh Richardson, who just recently re-signed an extension, these guys are getting paid, and so it's not really an issue. But then I started to think of the one player whose future is most impacted by playing time, and it's got to be Justice Winslow. You know, we've already talked about Josh Richardson being the best starting option at small forward, which kind of leaves Winslow in a lurch in that, you know, although we've discussed the fact that he'll probably be very effective as a playmaker off the bench the same way James Johnson was, it's kind of hard to swallow because you've already got one James Johnson, so you don't need Winslow in closing minutes. And we're messing with his livelihood then because this is a guy who has to prove himself. He's not going to get many more opportunities. You know, he's struggled all of last year, not just offensively, but because of injuries. He played well his rookie season, but it's a league that's very much dependent on what have you done for me lately. And if he doesn't get the opportunity to show it, i.e. minutes, I could start to see some grumbling from him. He's still a very young player. He seems much more mature and probably understands the way that it's, the game is played as far as the politicking, et cetera. But at the same time, he needs this kind of playing time in order to showcase what skills he has because he's going to have to sign an extension, whether it's in Miami or elsewhere. He might enter restricted free agency looking to get paid, and he might not have many opportunities available to him. So the playing time is really going to dictate. The fact that Miami, I don't know if you talked about this in your last podcast because I didn't have the capacity to hear it, but you know the fact that Josh Richardson got paid even though he was a second-round pick and Justice Winslow isn't, you know, or hasn't signed an extension or agreed to one, that's an interesting thing for me. And I know that there's a lot banking on this season for him, right?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't up for the extension because the first-round pick is 4 years and the second-round pick is 3 years. So he's up for an extension next year, but that is interesting, right? Like he's got.
That's my mistake. That's
but you're right though, because he's got to have a side eye to that, right? Like if the Heat haven't given any interest in signing him to an extension, even a year out, which they probably haven't because it is a year out. But if you're Winslow, you got to think like you gave this guy the extension, and you're going to start him over me if that is indeed what happens. Is this your guy? Is this the guy that you want, or am I your guy? Right, he might start side-eyeing. It's entirely plausible. I wonder if he has the leverage. You know, at this point, at this juncture, he doesn't have that. But what if he comes out and starts playing well?
He doesn't.
Does he have the leverage there? Or if he doesn't play well off the bench in his limited role and limited minutes, maybe he's like, dude, I need to play well for the rest of the season, or else I won't be eligible for the extension that Josh Richardson just signed. So I need to find somewhere else where I could play better. It's not working out in Miami. I got injured my second year. I'm not playing well in my third year. And so maybe I just need to change the scenery. I could see that being the case with Justice Winslow, just like plausibly, right? Everything we read is that he loves Miami. He loves the South Beach art scene. And we love Justice Winslow. We're big fans of him. Except you aren't. You think he's a bust. But it's... Sorry, I had to bring that up. But...
Can a man just make one mistake? It's been 3 years. Come on.
But, yeah, I don't know. I also looked at... what we call like Rodney Magruder, like is going to have the biggest demotion this year, but he's got like he can't go to the front office and demand a trade. Like he's got no leverage.
I can't see him grumbling for minutes either. Like he's just happy to be here. You know?
Dion Waiters, I want my own ship, kind of thing. Like Goran Dragic is the bearded dragon, and he's clearly like your number one. You've got to keep Hassan Whiteside happy because he's a difficult personality to deal with at points. And I'm just kind of the guy that becomes like a catch and shoot type of guy, a secondary ball player or scoring option and ball handler. Does he say, I want the Kyrie Irving treatment? Maybe, you know, he can't live in the shadow of Goran Dragic or whatever. Like, I don't know. Hassan Whiteside, this team suddenly goes to a 4-out, 5-out offense. They've drafted Bam Adebayo. Maybe they're playing Kelly Olynyk a little bit more because, let's face it, he fits the offense more. Maybe it's Olynyk that's closing out games and not Whiteside. Does he say, no, I'm the best player on this team. I want to go somewhere and be treated as such. Does he demand a trade? I don't know. There's just I don't want to think about our beloved players in this sort of light, but I'm just trying to think of the series of events that would lead us to a Kyrie Irving situation where out of the blue, you know, one of the best players on the team demands a trade, right? So that would be the only way. But your initial statement to this, where this is not an organization that these things typically happen to. That's where I side with this. In respect to Big Pat's question here, I don't see that happening at all. This team was so excited to play more basketball together. I just don't see somebody demanding to leave, you know? So
Udonis Haslam, he's gonna, at the halfway point. he still has opportunity to play.
I want my max contract. Let's see.
He'll finally sign with the Nuggets and become the ninth power forward on their roster.
All right. This question comes from Taylor Monk. Once the 2018 draft is done, wouldn't the Heat be able to trade the 2019 first round draft pick since they still own 2020 while the Suns get the 2021 pick? So this is a question about the Stepien rule, where teams can't trade consecutive first round picks. So the answer to that question, I'm just gonna go through this. No, they won't be able to trade the pick. It would be a situation like this year where Miami they own the pick, but they could only actually trade the player acquired with the pick, right? So you could make an agreement behind the scenes before you actually selecting the player, select a player for another team, so to speak. But
right.
Technically, you cannot trade the pick. It's still a consecutive pick before or after another first-round pick was traded. It's still within that two-year period. So you can't trade the pick before that. So the Heat won't be able to trade that first-round pick by this trade deadline, which I think is really the question here. That's not an option for them. Last question comes from Jeff Nicholas. If you had to trade a shooting guard on the Heat, who would it be? You had to. Who are you trading?
I want to hear your answer on this one first.
So, all right, we have to define the shooting guards, right? So we've got not Goran Dragic, Deion Waiters, Wayne Ellington, Josh Richardson, technically, even though he could probably start at the three. We would agree that maybe we define him as a shooting guard, right? Can we agree on that just for the sake of this question? And then
sure.
Tyler Johnson, right? Okay.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to go with Tyler Johnson. I mean, I've been a defender of that contract, but if I have to look between now Josh Richardson with his extension, Deion Waiters, and Tyler Johnson, you are investing $40 million next season into one position, the shooting guard position, that doesn't have an all-star, right? You're $40 million into one position without an all-star. So, and almost 50% of that is Tyler Johnson's $19 million contract next year. He is going to be the second highest paid player on the team next year. And I like Tyler Johnson. I like his game. He could win Sixth Man of the Year this year, right? He's got a nice candidacy to make that case. But $19 million a year? I defended the contract at first because you're going to get 2 years of Tyler Johnson at market to below market value. Now comes the part where you really have to kind of bite the bullet and say, all right, now we got to actually pay this guy that the big portion of the extension we signed him to. And so if you're going to trade any of these guys, it's got to be him, just because of the value. And this isn't even the Heat aren't going to make a lot of money. They're not going to create cap room to suddenly sign a max level free agent. By trading Tyler Johnson's $19 million next year, they're not going to be able to then turn around and sign a player for $19 million. It's not the way the cap works. They're already over the cap with what they've got committed to 9 players, and they still have to round out the roster with 6 more guys. And if you trade Tyler Johnson, you're basically getting $7 million below the cap with 9 players. So your $7 million of cap room is going to go to rounding out the rest of those 6 players, right? So it's they don't really create any cap space in this situation by trading Tyler Johnson. But so I'm at this point, I don't even care. Just keep Tyler Johnson. Miami doesn't have cap space with or without Tyler Johnson. It's not happening. You know, if you trade Tyler Johnson, you have to trade another player to make cap space, and there's nobody on this roster that I want to trade right now. So I'm in favor of just keeping him and paying him. The Heat already expected to pay him, and I don't care about how much money Mickey Arison spends on Tyler Johnson. So I don't want to trade either of these guys, because Tyler Johnson plays a really good role on this team as a sixth man, as the man off the bench, and I like that as his job. But if I had to pick, that would be the choice. But now I'm not. Now I'm thinking a little bit differently. But I'd like to hear your.
Well, to be honest with you, it's difficult, and I think my first tendency is to agree with you in Tyler Johnson. But I think if you would have to trade somebody in order to comply with the question, I think it has to be Deion.
Is that because you get the most value out of him?
That's a big part of it. That's a big part of it. I think his contract is movable. I think you can still convince people that he has higher upside based on what we saw last year. I think you can still sell teams on the fact that he has another level to reach and that he's capable of becoming a steady team player. It would hurt. It would suck. But at the same time, I think you're looking at him from that perspective and saying, you know, he might not necessarily mesh with Goran Dragic again. There might be issues about him being willing to take a back seat and be a complimentary playmaker scorer. Maybe he wants to prove that he's worth every penny and more of that contract, and maybe his is the personality that doesn't necessarily fit. We know Goran's will fit. He's shown in the past he's been willing to take a back seat to a guy like Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. I don't have any doubt that he'd be willing to do it again if necessary in order to maintain team chemistry and things of that sort. I don't know that about Deion, and I think he'll be willing to do it. I think he's that kind of player who's willing to make a change. We saw that last year, but you never know. This is a hypothetical question, and in this situation, I'd hypothetically be willing to trade Deion over Tyler because I just don't think anybody wants Tyler Johnson at the amount of money he's going to get paid next year and the year after that.
Yeah, I think if you trade Tyler Johnson at this point, you're not going to get any real value as far as money to spend against the cap next year, and you're not going to get really any value back, right? The Heat would probably have to attach a valuable asset, if anything, to trade him because of that contract. Another team doesn't want to take on that kind of contract. So if you're going to trade it, if you have to trade one of these guys, it might be somebody like Deion Waiters because you can get the most value back from him, right? If you're going to trade any of these guys, like Josh Richardson he signed the extension, but it's weird where he's still making $1.5 million this year, and then that bumps up to almost $10 million next year, so it's hard to trade him. In terms of the way the NBA rules work, but so that really leaves you with, I guess, Wayne Ellington, who I suppose you could trade for something like a second round pick for an expiring contract or something. But Deion Waiters, you can get the real value out of him. Look, if the Heat determine that Justice Winslow is playing really well and he improves his jumper or something, and you know what, this guy can start, and we have Josh Richardson as a starter at shooting guard, we like him better as a two guard in the future anyway. And we want to start these guys, do you then turn around and say Waiters is on the trading block? Because if you could trade Waiters, who is a good two-way player, he could score for you, he could be a great scorer off the bench for a contending team, does the contending team say, we need a guy like Deion Waiters, and offer up a first-round pick or a young asset or something like that for Deion? I'm inclined to kind of side with you right now, is that if you're going to trade one of these guys, Deion Waiters might be the best option if you had to, right? So,
yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, that's all the questions that we have today. Thanks again to SeatGeek, the smartest, easiest way to find tickets to the games, concerts, and shows you want to go to. If you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, thank you for listening. You could send mailback questions or get information about advertising on the show by sending an email to LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Follow Locked On Heat on Twitter, where we're doing a lot of exciting things, pictures and graphics and videos and stuff. Go ahead and give us a follow there, Locked On Heat. And if you're not subscribed already, please do so to get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. We've got our new jingle coming up this week, I promise, guys. We'll catch you next time.